Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Stunning Stancy at your service for episode 87. And no, hindi ako solo flight for this week. Just so happens that Ravishing Ro Moran and Rowdy Raf Camus all had to take a break for very, very different and distinct circumstances. As is the case for Camus, he's actually going under the knife to treat some injuries. So it's nothing too serious, but we do wish him the best. So if you want to show him some love, go ahead and tweet him. It's at Caveman Camus. As for Ro, well, he's just tired. He's had a long ass week, and we understand that. There are just weeks when, you know, you just have to get shit out of the way, take some time out to unwind and to relax. And I know exactly how he feels. That's how I was last Sunday when I spent 8 hours playing WWE 2K16. As in, I just marathoned that shit. And the last time I did that for a video game was, I think I was still in high school or college. Last ko ginawa yun. So, I actually missed it. Pero alam mo yung feeling na you start at 5 p.m. You only take a break to take a piss and to eat dinner. And before you know it, puta 1 a.m. na. And I'm like, fuck, I have to wake up by 8 a.m. tomorrow. So, it's not as bad as, say, having a 9-to-5 when you have to wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. just to avoid EDSA traffic and all that shit. But the fact that I was able to waste 8 hours playing a game, man, that was priceless. That was just good. And I got to thank our friends from 2K Sports, especially the Southeast Asia branch, for giving me the review copy. I'm actually working on the review, the official WWE 2K16 review, which you can find on smarkhenry.ph by, if not this week, then next week at the latest. So I'm working on that. It's safe to say at this point that there's a lot to rave about in the game, particularly the fact that you can finally run in on your opponent's entrance. For the longest time, I've been waiting for that opportunity to strike my opponent, because I love working heel in the video games. Who doesn't like working heel, diba? So all of that, I'll be talking about that. I'll talk about the new reversal system, how you actually have to pick your spots now instead of having unlimited reversals, how breaking out of a pinfall is much, much harder now than it was ever before, and how I've only broken out of a submission hold like twice. That shit is difficult, all right, in 2K16. I just realized that this week we're actually celebrating the 10th death anniversary of Eddie Guerrero. And we've made a big deal out of Eddie Guerrero and his passing here on the podcast, mostly because all three of us, Raf, Ro, and myself, were all huge fans of Eddie Guerrero. So I guess the only fitting way to go about this is to dedicate this week's episode to the late, great Eddie Guerrero. I believe he did. He passed away on a Sunday in 2005, November 13. That day, he was scheduled to win the World Heavyweight Championship against Batista and against Randy Orton in a triple threat match. And, you know, my fandom has changed so much since then. But he was really instrumental in how I appreciate wrestling. Like, the way I look at people telling stories in the ring, the way I look at people just telling stories in general with their bodies, with their faces, even without talking. Eddie Guerrero was able to do all of that. I remember actually crying, like when I was watching the tribute shows. And I think that was one of the first times that I legitimately cried about something on TV. And one funny thing that I may have shared on the podcast before, I'm not sure if I've shared that here before, but the one guy who told me in school that Eddie Guerrero had passed away was the same guy who told me that Chris Benoit had passed away 2 years later in school. So that was kind of freaky na nangyari yun. But, you know, things just have a very weird way of happening. So, you know, if I actually had the capability to get into the ring and to wrestle, I would probably want to model my style after Eddie Guerrero. Now, he was such a good technical wrestler. At the same time, he was very flashy with his high-flying stuff. So But yeah, I know I'm much better behind a mic. I'm much better in a suit than I am, you know, in a pair of tights or in a pair of trunks. So that's probably not going to happen. But yeah, growing up, man, I just had so many tributes to Eddie Guerrero in my notebooks or in my video games, like my creator wrestlers. I would always take pride in playing as Eddie or in unlocking Eddie in the video game. So that always meant a lot to me. So his death anniversary will actually start here in the Philippines in, oh, it's actually midnight. So it's actually begun. So Latino Heat Eddie, you know, thank you. Thank you for just having such an impact on a fan like myself and making me love this business, because a lot of us in the PWR scene are actually pretty huge fans of Eddie Guerrero, if you've noticed it in Chris Panzer and how he does the El Guerrero. I believe Bombay Suarez is the one who also does the Three Amigos in his moveset, you know, so this love for Eddie Guerrero bonds people. So, you know, if I could have one wish with regard to my fandom in wrestling, it'd probably be to bring Eddie back. But that's not going to happen. So, I hope that 10 years after he passed away, I hope that Eddie's in heaven, man. You know, he's just tearing it up over there somewhere. I guess to close this reminiscing on Eddie Guerrero and, you know, as we celebrate his 10th death anniversary, I'd like to talk about my favorite Eddie moment, and that would have to be when he won the WWE Championship finally against Brock Lesnar at No Way Out. And no matter how many people would say, nah, it was a tainted win because Brock Lesnar was distracted by Goldberg and all that shit. Yeah, I mean, that moment was special, pa rin, because that's when you really felt, nah, Eddie's celebration was one of the most real celebrations of a championship ever. Another one of my favorites is his match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20, because that was just a clinic. That was just brilliant. And the celebration afterwards with Chris Benoit. Of course, we know, we can't ever see that moment again, ever, in WWE because of the circumstances behind Chris Benoit's death, and that's unfortunate. But that would always be something I would cherish deeply in my heart as a fan of Eddie Guerrero. Now, as for you, what are your Eddie moments? What are your favorite moments about Eddie Guerrero growing up as a fan? Or maybe even if you weren't a fan, but if he resonated with you. Because I was giving a talk yesterday in UP, and somebody actually asked me in the audience, who's your favorite wrestler of all time? And sabi ko, it's Eddie Guerrero. And some of the girls in the audience actually went, "Oh." And, you know, you could tell that these kids, these girls actually grew up watching wrestling. And Eddie Guerrero was part of their consciousness. So at some point, if you watched wrestling in the early to mid-2000s, Eddie Guerrero was part of your consciousness. So let me know what your favorite Eddie moment was or your favorite Eddie Guerrero stories. You can tweet me. It's @_Stancy. And you can also tweet Ro and Camus @RoisWar and @CavemanCamus. And for us, it's @TheSGPPodcast. So let us know. And let's share and reminisce a bit on this day. What was your favorite Eddie Guerrero moment? Anyway, we've got business to do, so let's get right to it. This week's episode of the podcast is going to be a lot of fun. We've got our good friend, Redrick Mahaba. You may have heard him before on the podcast under his real name, but we'll talk about the Redrick Mahaba character, how he got started in Philippine Wrestling Revolution, and how his training, how his journey has been to get to this point where he is 2 weeks away from debuting at PWR Live. I'm excited for this guy. I'm excited for the network. I'm excited for the Machine, Maverick Knight. All of these guys, these new faces you'll be seeing at PWR Live. It's happening on November 28th. They changed the date. We also changed the venue, by the way. We're no longer going to be at Makati Cinema Square. Bye, Felicia! We're going to be going to iAcademy Auditorium. That's where you'll find us now. If you don't know where iAcademy Auditorium is, all you have to do is to check out smarkhenry.ph. We have the instructions there. If you don't have your own car, kung di ka nag-Uber, di ka nag-grab taxi, that's fine. We can tell you how to commute to iAcademy Auditorium. We've got all the instructions laid out, and we got to thank our friends from Victory Makati for actually providing that shit for us. Also, there are a lot of new things you can expect on November 28th. So Redrick will actually be talking about that when we sit down and chat about his progress, his training, and all of that. After which, he actually sticks around because we get to talk about this week's Raw, this week's NXT, and how the injury to Seth Rollins just changed the game and the landscape in the WWE. There's a lot of hot takes going around on the interwebs. We have our own hot takes on that as well, so you'll get to hear that in just a bit. And then after that, we're going to give you our picks of the week. Since Redrick's basically the co-host for the week, we might as well give him a pick of the week. That's coming up as well. Now, I wish I could tell you how to make more money by driving your car and driving Uber, but they're not paying for their airtime on this podcast, so I can't do that. And I wish DDP Yoga also sponsored me, but I can't tell you about that shit either because I'm overweight and I haven't exercised in about a year. And I wish that DraftKings.com and SeatGeek could tell me how to draft and make money and which seats actually produce the best value for my money. But unfortunately, none of those assholes sponsor this podcast also. So what we're going to do is we're going to go jump into our interview with Redrick Mahaba. And that's coming up right now. This is episode 87. Again, 87 of the SGP podcast. Sitting here on this special episode of the SGP podcast with somebody who we've come to know over the last year. You may know him by his real name. You may know him from outside of the wrestling community. But now that he's about to make his debut as an official PWR star, we have to call him by his rightful name. And that name is Redrick Mahaba.
Hey, baby.
Redrick Mahaba, welcome back to the SGP podcast. We've seen your posts on social media. You go by a lot of names, so let's go through them one by one.
Yeah, that's a lot of names.
They call you the Intimate Warrior.
The Intimate Warrior, yes, that's one, because I really like to connect with the old school fans, you know what I mean? I'm a 90s fan myself, so that kind of takes me back when I still use a Warrior's name and kind of own it up to myself.
They also call you the King of Schlong Style.
Yeah, and that's for the smarky fans, is like I'd like to call it. Because I want to cater to everyone. Because, you know, loving is for everybody, man. Loving is for everybody in this world. So I want to let people know that I'm here for everybody.
So let's cut to the chase here, because a lot of people have seen what you have posted on social media, but I think the biggest question still is, sino nga ba si Redrick Mahaba?
Wow. Redrick Mahaba is very crazy. This guy, well, I should address it to myself. Me, it's all about loving. I'm telling you, man, we can't get enough of this. Like, this is the only magic in this world is love. It binds us. And as my days as a comedian before, you would see that I travel all over the world. You would see that everybody, you would have a language barrier, but love is that one thing that's common. And Redrick Mahaba is all about that. One more thing is that I'm not just promoting like love and everything. I'm promoting positive body image, man. This is as cheesy as it gets, because everybody, I go all over the world and I see people that are very insecure with their bodies, like fat people. I'm saying fat people, okay? Fat people are very insecure with their bodies, and they're saying that they can't be sexy and they can't be cute. Well, I'm here now. I'm telling you, I am embodying sexiness while maintaining a 320-pound frame. That's what I'm saying. So it's going to be a lethal combination. This much confidence with this much mass, man. You've never seen anything like me before.
There is a song that goes, "What the world needs now is love,
yes,
sweet love."
It's true.
Right? You know that song. And it's kind of weird having somebody who just advocates for so much love, so much positivity,
yeah,
in an industry like wrestling where,
yes,
you know, the most basic motive, good versus evil, is I'm going to knock your fucking teeth out because XYZ.
Yes, but there's a lot of love in the ring. That's what I noticed when I was doing boot camp, is that you do knock each other out in the ring, but there's like a period of respect that you have for each other. Like him or hate him, you both love this thing that you do, and in order for you to be able to continue on and excelling in the thing that you do, you must have love for it. And so this is what I'm embodying. There's a lot of people who are out there who are working passionless jobs, and I want to let them know that, you know, that you can love something out of the blue, or you can love something from the start of your life or whatever, and you can excel in it. You know what I mean?
You know, you are the living embodiment of somebody who just does what he loves for a living.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For everything that you've been doing, we see you in all different types of media, from
yes.
from TV
yes.
To stage to now getting in the ring. And I know for a fact that even before PWR started, you were one of those people who was actively looking for a Philippine wrestling promotion.
Yes,
can you tell us about
true.
That?
Well, like a lot of people in the roster, we've been fans for life. And we wanted to do it as soon as there's an opportunity to do it. And one thing about me is that I live in the philosophy that if it's a childhood dream that I had, and if I don't at least attempt to do it when I'm an adult or when I'm able to, that's just failing in life. That's how I feel. My standards in life is not about making money or having children. It's about fulfilling ambition, which I think like one of the things that you should really strive for. So I've been looking for wrestling training ever since, probably as soon as I had a job to pay for it. That's what I couldn't travel outside of the country, of course, because you know I'm not that rich. But as soon as I found out about PWR boot camp, I signed up for it, and thankfully I got accepted, and actually had a lot of growing pains. Like it took me like 11 months. I think Vintendo, Jimmy Orellana, they did pre-shows before me, but we all started like almost the same. I mean, I think I even started earlier than Jimmy, but I was at training longer because I actually went through a lot of injuries because I'm not in the greatest shape of my life, I have to admit. So I just didn't stop doing it because I really liked doing it. And from the start, when I knew that when I was looking for it, I was committed to it from the start.
Sabi mo nga na ba na hinahanap mo, you were actually looking for any wrestling school here in the Philippines
yeah.
that would, you know, get you through the door of the pro wrestling industry. How long did it take from that time when you were searching for it for the first time to when you actually found boot camp?
Oh man, that's a long time. Wala pa tang Facebook. Wala pa tang Facebook, naghahanap na ako. I think when I was in a position na parang, hey, I can make my own decisions now without like parental consent, because I knew my parents wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
So when I probably hit like 17, 18, and I was like, okay, I gotta look for this, because you know, and a lot of things too, like when I watch wrestling and something big comes up, I got so you get inspired, diba, to look for something that you want to do.
Of course.
So parang like kunare when I think Punk got in developmental in OVW, I was looking hard for a wrestling school, not even here. I was like siguro somewhere in Southeast Asia at least. Or I was considering going to my tita in Canada just to do it, like things like that. It gets silly, pero syempre, reality is just like maybe something local lang. So maybe probably since 8-9 years ago, I've been looking hard for a training school.
And 9 years later, you're here.
Yeah.
You're poised to make your first ever appearance at a PWR event.
Yeah, 11 months or like close to a year of training, probably. Popped knee, popped ankle, two, three concussions later.
how was it like struggling? You know, struggling through boot camp, because it's no easy ride. In boot camp, everybody who's been around boot camp can tell you to your face that it's not a walk in the park.
It's not.
So, what were the struggles that you had to go through aside from not being in shape?
Yeah, the first one is that actually making a decision if all this pain is worth it, because it's not easy, man. And you know that they don't just put you through the drills because they want you to quit. It's just that, you know, it's just needed. This is like the basic default minimum requirement to do it. And I can barely pass, like physically. A lot of things are like hard in bootcamp. Like making time for it is hard because, you know, I work all throughout the week, like Monday to Sunday, because, you know, I can get booked like a gig on Saturday or Sunday. So sometimes I have a gig that runs on until like 3 a.m. and then I have to wake up at 8 go to boot camp.
Yeah.
So, and then I barely have time to eat. So I would do this training from 9 to 4 p.m. without anything in my stomach because, one, I tried to eat before and I just puked it all out. So there's like a lot of things, a lot of factors. But man, if you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter. really. If they could have had chair shot drills, I don't really care. I would take it.
What was, you know, throughout your time in boot camp, what was the single most valuable tip that was shared to you by the veterans of PWR that helped you get to this point where you've graduated and made your way to the main roster?
Yeah. I was at a point in time that I was so focused on doing things right. There was a time, I think I have to put him over. I think it's Jake De Leon. Put me over. No, don't put me over. Set me aside. And told me that you're focusing on not making mistakes all the time, or you're focusing on looking good. You gotta remember that you gotta take a step back, and you're having fun doing this, right? You have to remember that. So I think Jake put that up and gave me that great advice that actually turned a lot of things around. So kudos to Mr. Jake De Leon. One other thing is, I think I got a lot of help from Batch 2 guys. Ralph, Imabayashi, Mark Di Manalo. They're really nice guys. I would have wanted to get a lot of Royal Flush help, but they're pretty exclusive, man. They're pretty exclusive.
Yeah, keep it within the family.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get in the family first.
Yeah. But I'm gonna get the chance to pick their brains out in the next PWR Live event, because I'm guesting them in my segment called Mahabang Usapan.
Mahabang Usapan. Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but I want to address something that I know a lot of PWR's critics have been calling us out on since the get-go.
Yeah.
And that is the fact that we don't have a lot of size.
Yeah.
but with your addition to the roster, malamang sa malamang tataas yung average height and weight ng PWR roster. You're what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah. I'm 6'3".
And you're 290.
320.
320, sorry.
Yeah.
So you're heavier than Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And you're about just as tall.
Yes.
Right? So yes. Where do you think you fit in the Philippine wrestling landscape, given that relative to guys like Classical Brian Leo, Jake De Leon, Chris Panzer, hell, even John Sebastian, Bombay Suarez, Main Max, you're an outlier because of your size.
Yes, I am.
So how do you fit in?
I don't. It's been that way in a lot of things that I do, is that I thrive in not fitting in the mold, because they could see me as a big guy, big hulking guy. I could be very powerful or slow, but there's this one thing I have, very surprising agility, which is really, I thought of it as a joke at first, because you know, like, you need a an agile fat man for some reason. But one of my influences are like Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
You could say Kevin Owens probably right after that. But Samoa Joe is a big influence in my game. Referee Matt Rojas once told me, like, man, you are surprisingly fast. Actually, I think I realized that when Ralph Imabayashi actually called me surprisingly fast one day. And I'm like, oh, maybe I am fast. I don't know. So there's an aspect of this game that's going to take people by surprise, and I want to show it all on the next PWR Live.
All right, so let's not try to spoil everything, because I was tempted to ask you what your style in the ring was, but since you mentioned
it... Oh, you can.
Yes. So let's get into that a little bit. If someone were to scout you, what would the things on the what would the scouting report say?
I'm fabulous. It's true. I want to do things that are like, I'm flashy, man. I don't like doing things that are like just for effect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So because no wasted motions.
We are in an entertainment business. You gotta give people what they want. I'm not saying I'm gonna do a 450 splash. What I'm saying is that there ain't nothing like me but me. It's crazy what I can do. I am very creative. I am very innovative in the ring. And I'm putting myself over now. But hopefully you will see it. And hopefully I will prove it, but there's a lot of creativity and innovations in my offense. I'm very graceful, I think, because you know I have a background in contemporary dance, so I do that. I have a background in ballet, which is surprisingly for my size, right?
Yes, it is.
So there's a lot of things that I do that will take people by surprise, and I think that will get people off their game if I get in the ring with someone. You know, like, they're expecting me to probably use my weight, which I will, But I will also use my weight very creatively to like get leverage on you.
So yeah. What is your finishing move called?
My finishing move is like the technical term for it. I think it's a cradle side suplex.
Yeah.
Or a sidewinder suplex. But I call it, it's more slam in the Philippines.
Haba na, that, yeah, yeah, that is a mouthful.
I told you, they ain't nothing but me, man. I like it because it has a nice ring to it. And because we are in PWR, so I gotta represent, man.
You gotta give it a Filipino touch.
Hell yeah.
Mahabang Usapan.
Yeah.
That is the name of your segment, which we're gonna be debuting at PWR Live on November 28th.
Yes.
So what can the Revo Nation expect once you take the stage in that ring for Mahabang Usapan?
Well, Revo Nation is gonna expect a lot of laughter. Like, I am a big personality. I don't think, like, we've had Ken Warren, we've had Brian Leo, we've had John Sebastian. That they're all big personalities. But I'm gonna come in there, and when you give me a microphone, you're gonna see like not just passion in it. You're gonna see a lot of humor, a lot of awesome lines. I don't want to put myself over anymore.
No. This is all about you, man.
Yeah. But you do know I do have like a lot of experience entertaining people. So I'm going to bring that in. I'm going to incorporate everything. And I'm going to give them a show. Because once I step into any kind of stage, where it be like a squared circle or a stage in a dinky bar, I'm promising one thing, that people will be entertained. Win or lose, people will be entertained.
So... Once Mahabang Usapan finally gets going at PWR Live, who can we expect to join you?
Oh, man.
Is that something that you're free to disclose right now, or is it something you'd rather keep close to the chest?
I'm just taking orders, actually, but if I had like a wish list on who I would interview, well, The Flush is one of them, but as an inaugural episode, it's kind of like a handful.
Yeah.
I think I might get in trouble with the things I say, but I'm hoping that they're really good sports, you know, because, you know, they're first world.
Right.
So I really want to get in the head of Jake De Leon. I think he's been going through a lot of tough times, a lot of tough losses lately. I really want to know if Apocalypse even speaks. I don't even know that.
He has spoken. He said three words. He said three words in front of the Revo Nation since all of this began.
That is not speaking, though. That's barely like babies speak more than three words. So not to disrespect Apocalypse or anything, but I do want to get inside whatever that mask is. One particular person that I really, really wanna have as a guest is probably Mark DiManalo. I think he's a very, very fun guy. He entertains the crowd, like, I think in the same wavelength that I would imagine that I would entertain the crowd. And he's very, and like, you know, getting picked off the audience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanna know what's that like.
Now, you said 8-9 years ago your goal was to find somebody who can get you through this business or get you into this business.
Yes.
So that was your goal. You've accomplished that goal. You're now here, part of PWR. You're about to have your first ever appearance as Rederick Mahaba. What's next? What other goals have you got? Have you set for yourself?
Well, I want to have my first match, of course. Let's get that out of the way. I want to win that first match. I want to win my second match, but more importantly is that I want to give people, as corny as it may sound, like, I want my matches to be the time that when people say that, hey, sulit yung binayad ko, yun yung gusto, because that's been my mentality ever since when I've been performing. I want people to know that when I get on stage, sulit na sila, and everything else probably is a bonus. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like it's that mentality that I'm gonna bring up, and that's like my main focus on contributing to this very, very. It's a budding. I call it art form.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is. So it's a budding art form, and it has to be promoted, and I will be a catalyst in that movement.
You've been through boot camp, so you know how everybody ticks. At the very least, you have an idea what sets people off. So knowing that. And knowing that, you know, you've been waiting to get called up over the last few months. Oh, is there anyone who you want to face because you know this person in and out, you know you have an advantage, na this person hasn't seen you but you've seen them? Is there someone who you want to face na parang either dream match or you know that you can have an opportunity to make an impact and make a name for yourself?
Oh man, I want to have a match against our head trainer, Bombay Suarez. Uh-huh. Like a real match.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I think like when we do like matches in when we practice and we spar in boot camp, I think this guy pulls his punches. I want what he did to John Sebastian. Not that much, but probably in an actual match where there's like it's a normal match, no weird stipulations. I just want to get in the ring with the mentor. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that I have a few tricks up my sleeve that he probably would expect, but I think I would still, you know, get him. You know what I mean?
It's always a big deal, di ba? Kapag mentor mo yung...
Yeah, of course.
Either yung katrabaho mo in general.
Yeah. That's why the Jake De Leon Bombay Suarez main event in Revo X was so nice.
Yeah.
Because it had that feel that's like a mentor... student mentality. Well, at the same time, I want to have that with Bombay, but Jake De Leon was also my mentor, and it was also a big part of the thing. So my second answer would probably Jake De Leon, but seeing as he's, I think, I'm not sure if he has a match. Does he have a match? I don't even know.
Yeah, we're still working on that. Let's see where Jake De Leon fits into our plans. Complete WR Live. You have the privilege of debuting in front of a crowd of say of hundreds because the PWR shows on average we've been getting in hundreds and some of the guys from the succeeding boot camp batches they've also talked about how it gets unnerving, nerve wracking even sometimes. You get your first match in front of 300 people, 400 people. Where in the US you're lucky if you get to debut in front of a crowd of 30.
Saturated. Dun,
So what is your mindset heading into whether you get a match at PWR Live or not? The fact that you're debuting in front of the strong and loyal fan base of PWR. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm going back to my experience because I've done probably 1,000 people. I've done performances in front of 1,000 people, so and probably more than that. I'm not sure, but I've done countless performances. But it doesn't matter if it's like in front of 40, 1,000, 300, 200. It's you're out there bearing your soul, and it's gonna have the same effect. You're gonna be nervous, and you're not gonna expect anything that you're gonna have. It's the beauty of performance. So I'm gonna get in there. I may say that I have this performance experience or this background that I've performed in front of people. But I will still get nervous. But expect that I know how to handle my nerves, and I thrive in that. I love that. I love that feeling. The moment that you don't get nervous anymore is that I think the time that you should take a step back and reanalyze if you still want to do this. Because if you get nervous, a wise man told me this, if you get nervous, it means you care.
Yeah.
So, if you still get nervous, that's the appropriate feeling to have. It's not because you lack in skill. It's because you care about your performance.
And, of course, everybody's been talking about the fact that PWR Live will be at a new venue.
Oh, yeah.
That's something we gotta get out there. Yeah. It's a big elephant in the room. We are officially leaving Makati Cinema Square. So, you've been at Makati Cinema Square countless times.
Yes.
You've helped us out in the shows in various capacities. Hell, yes. You've filled in for me.
Yeah, in one match.
during the No Holds Barred match.
Yeah.
So, what is it like knowing that... One, you kind of missed out on the Makati Cinema Square
experience. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to say, back in the day.
Right.
Nang nasa MCS pa lang kami. Wala. I can't say that anymore.
but at the same time, you get to be one of the first people to break in this new venue,
yes.
Which is the iAcademy Auditorium. So,
I'm opening the show.
It's a huge, huge jump from MCS to iAcademy and you're opening the show.
Yes.
So, what's running through your mind right now?
Oh, well... First of all, it's great blessing. Thank you to the powers that be for trusting me with this. Second is that I shouldn't be worried about making a mistake because, probably people will. And that's like a factor that you can't get out. Something will go wrong, but I'm more focused on just just getting us a great start in this new venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, I know that they had to find a venue for me that has aircon because I'm too hot.
Right. And we took you into consideration.
Because I'm too hot, or I might sweat myself. If this was like the old venue, I might sweat myself into my entrance and probably lose 20 pounds on the way to the ring. But this venue is great. I saw it. It's amazing for the performers and the people watching. And it's just the venue that people deserve when they watch PWR, and the venue that people perform in. This might be our new home. I don't know. I wouldn't know. But if it is, I will try my best to make it as such that we will have great memories to remember in iAcademy.
All right. Now, before we wrap this baby up, why don't I give you this time to address anybody, whether it's the Revo Nation or anybody in the PWR locker room. So if there's anyone you want to call out, anybody you want to give a shout out to, the floor is yours.
Oh, all right. Well, this is awkward. Chris Panzer, I love you. You're great. You smell amazing. So does Mayhem Brannigan. I hope he gets well soon. I got to give a shout out to Scarlett, though. I think Scarlett needs a lot of attention. Because, Brian Leo and John Sebastian kind of have their thing going on. You know, they got that bromance. I don't know. I don't want to judge 2015. I don't really care. They're my guests at Mahabang Usapan. Max, I love Max. You know, Max is the shit. He's a big guy like me, too. You know what I mean? So we got that fat on fat respect. But Scarlett needs some attention, man. I mean, I know she's going through tough times with getting the death belt. He got death belt from the apocalypse. And I could just imagine how that feels like. And Scarlett needs some loving, man. So I'm giving a shout out to Scarlett. I'm Redrick Mahaba, Scarlett. You know what I mean? Like, Mahaba. You know what I mean? Again, that's the same question I asked you twice. So maybe don't turn me down this time. You know what I mean? Scarlett. We got a date, I think, on now November 28th.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to you and me locking eyes in the ring. Maybe, you know, sometimes I locked in John Sebastian eyes too. Maybe a little bit of Brian Leo too. But mostly you and me, Scarlett. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, you do know what I mean now, Scarlett.
All right, on with more of the SGP podcast. Redrick Mahaba decided to stay a while and to talk shop.
Yep.
Because we've done this before.
We're all fans.
Yeah, we're all fans at the end of the day. And, you know, it was nice of him to actually fill in as guest co-host for Ro and for Camus. So let's get right to it.
Yeah, I'm big enough to fill in for two people.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah. Now, this week we have ourselves a bit of a pickle, mostly because we don't have a WWE World Heavyweight Champion anymore.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
But that's also a good thing. Yeah.
It is a good thing because there's always opportunity in your negatives.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes, yes.
Only the most pessimistic of pessimists, and I'm glad to say I'm not one of them, will say that this is just an entirely bad situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that Rollins' injury is symptomatic of a bigger problem in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger problem can be said in on two levels. The first is the fact that they obviously overwork their talents. Seth Rollins as champion, you know, there were pay-per-views where he wrestled twice a night.
Yeah.
And that's horrible because you don't want to overwork your champion that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably one of the reasons why wear and tear is so bad for WWE talents, especially as they age.
That's true, but I think Rollins wanted that. But in a way, like I'm a performer and I'm going to give you two of the best matches in the card, which I think he did. In Night of Champions, I think.
Hindi naman mawawala yung pride. Like, all of us as performers, we've got that pride, diba? And, you know, when WWE is mostly the only game in town, if the boss tells you to do A, you're going to do A.
Yeah,
if he says jump, you say how high.
Yes.
But at some point, somebody's got to realize, nah, these guys can't be overworked like this forever.
That's true, though. That's true. Yeah, someone from the back has to wise up because, these guys won't back down.
Diba?
Yeah.
They're not going to do the wise thing, which is to preserve themselves and, you know, extend their careers for as long as possible. Because if the boss wants to do it one way, you're going to have to do it his way because it's his company at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that makes it very, very difficult.
The same thing with PWR Bootcamp is that we do like a shit ton of squats, and I have a knee problem.
Yeah.
So even though I want to do like the required amount, and some people are seeing me wobbling, people will tell me to back down because they don't want a permanent injury. You know what I mean? So somebody has to look that from the outside looking in and tell probably people that, yeah, maybe let's not tire our wrestlers too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kasi mahirap eh. You know, it's not going to end well for anyone in the same way na, you know, you have Rollins who's what, 28, 29?
Yeah.
And he blew out his knee. I hope he makes a full recovery kasi that's basically the Sean Livingston injury.
Yeah. Everything torn.
Diba? Tumuklap yung tuhod niya eh.
Yeah.
So he's out 6 to 9 months. He'll be back
6 to 9 months.
Yeah. By the time he's back, babies will have been born.
Yeah.
That were not even conceived yet today. Shit like that. So it's gonna be a long time. But while he's away, before we see him again, we're gonna be having this tournament, which is supposedly to keep us all busy through this difficult time. Which brings me to the second point I wanted to raise earlier. Now, yeah, it's good that you have a tournament again. Leading into Survivor Series, I'm a fan of tournaments. I say this all the time because every match becomes important.
Yes.
That's one. Number two, it's a good way to either A, incorporate all the storylines together because at some point paths will cross,
yeah.
Or two, you get to reset everything.
Yes.
Because everybody's priorities immediately shift from I'm not doing anything right now or I'm in a stupid feud to holy shit, that title is up for grabs. Let's all vie for it. And that alone is such a it's a unifying impetus for everyone. At the same time, it also makes everything simple lang ulit.
Yes.
Diba? It simplifies everything. Here's my problem though. When you have a field of 16 competitors, you expect certain names. You expect your mid-card champions like Alberto Del Rio. You expect Kevin Owens. You expect Roman Reigns because he's the rightful number one contender.
Yeah, I see where you're going now.
But I don't understand why names like, as much as it pains me to say this, why Stardust has to be in there? Why Kalisto has to be in there? What did The Miz and fucking Titus O'Neil do to receive their slots in the tournament?
I have like a very, very fair opinion on this. And it's just that these are probably workers they want to push. And they had this opportunity, and they probably had a list of hot wrestlers.
Yeah.
Then these would probably make the tournament exciting, and then they would, of course, have to decide who these wrestlers win against. You know what I mean? So these wrestlers that they choose, they probably want to give them like a big match feel.
Yeah.
Put them in a situation that is very unique, and see how the crowd reacts to them, because I think. In the recent tournament that we had in NXT, nobody was giving Gable and Jordan any kind of respect or anything. Like, nobody expected anything from them.
Yeah.
But when they pulled off this great match against Corbin and Rhino.
Yeah.
So, I think that's something that they're looking for because they could make an asset. Like, they can make a superstar out of people that they've mismanaged. You know, they only have to blame themselves, you know. These guys are all good. They're in the WWE.
Sense.
They're all good. Yeah.
It makes sense na, you know, you're piecing this idea together using your own logic, diba? Using your own perspective. But that goes back to yung bigger issue na WWE doesn't tell stories with logic. To the point na, as a fan...
They don't, yeah.
As a fan, you have to rely on your own logic para maintindihan mo talagang nangyayari.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing because if you're telling a story, let's say you're watching a movie. Say you're watching James Bond.
Yeah.
Hindi mo naintindihan kung bakit nag-sexy James Bond at si Madeline Swan.
Yes.
Right? You want to know at least why it happened. If the simple reason is they find each other attractive or whatever. Hindi mo pwede yung, you know, 1 minute they're talking without any hint of attraction, the next minute they're having sex.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Parang, okay, so he thought that Madeline Swan was a hot French woman, so he would have sex with her. You know, you have to make things come together in such a way that they make sense.
Oh, so you felt that this was like instant?
It was instant. Because Stardust, for example, the last we've seen of him was he was having his little Stardust section. Ginagago niya si Cesaro.
Yeah.
Diba? He hasn't even been in the ring on Raw and SmackDown all that much.
Yeah.
Even when he has, it wasn't in a meaningful
match.
Like
the last significant thing he did was with Amel.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
The same goes for someone like Titus O'Neil.
Yes.
Who we associate more with being in the primetime players.
Tag team.
Right, as a tag team.
Yeah.
Yung Lucha Dragons, medyo mapapagbigyan ko pa eh because they're number one contenders right now
yeah.
for the tag team championship. But even still, why Kalisto? Why not Sin Cara?
Because Sin Cara is the lesser Lucha Dragon.
Ayan, parang nag-jack and poi sila, nag-draw lahat sila. Pwede.
Or
bro, ako muna.
Maybe, this is the flip side of things. Maybe if you put like logic, like, we're gonna give this guy to Owens to lose. Like, let's just get a guy who that we don't have a lot of banking on. Like, he could take a loss and he wouldn't be affected. Kesa, they put all guys deserving. And that they would, you know, that they would eventually lose to the much hotter guys. You know what I mean? Like, they could put in, like, a debuting Balor, for example. But we
they have a debuting Tyler Breeze in the bracket.
They did.
Who I lost? Have a problem with that.
Who lost, by the way?
In the first
round. To Ambrose, who needs a win.
To Ambrose, who needs a win, yes. But do we really need to see Tyler Breeze in this tournament this soon?
You know what? I was expecting, like, Ziggler and Breeze would cost each other's matches.
Ako rin.
Yeah, like,
but that didn't happen.
Yeah, maybe that's a booking swerve. Like, ooh, the smart people will expect this. Maybe.
Are we,
let's play with their minds.
As fans, like you and yeah. I have grown up as fans yeah. and as thinking fans, we're preconditioned about to think that because ABC, then DEF.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because Ziggler and Breeze are near each other on the bracket.
Exactly, exactly.
They're probably going to fuck each other up yeah. and either meet in the next round, but virtually impossible because Ambrose is Breeze's opponent, or cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Diba?
I was actually worried when I saw the brackets and I saw Breeze and Ambrose. And I'm like, what? Ambrose is going to job to Breeze again? Because, you know, there's no way in hell that this guy is going to debut in Raw. And he's gonna lose. That's what I thought.
Ako on the contrary, because when I saw Reigns and Ambrose on the completely opposite bracket, I immediately thought na eto prediction ko Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the finals.
Oh, that's too positive. I don't think WWE will give that.
Okay, take a look at the bracket right now. You can see the bracket about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Roman Reigns is winning this. I think that's a safe prediction
yeah, for
to
sure.
make.
Yeah.
Among the four guys on the other side of the bracket, being Neville, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, and Dean Ambrose. Who do you think is the most compelling na makakalaban ni Roman Reigns? He's already faced Kevin Owens before.
Yeah.
In a match.
Yeah.
Diba? If you have Neville against Roman Reigns, as much as I love Neville, that's not very compelling.
Yeah.
Which leaves us to Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. And my gut tells me na it's going to be a very, very interesting main event at Survivor Series if the vacated championship is contested by the Shield Brothers.
Yeah.
And if someone turns heel in that match.
No. No. Please don't.
I want Roman Reigns.
Oh, Roman Reigns to turn.
To get okay. this. You remember when Rocky Maivia joined the corporation and became The Rock?
Yeah, yeah.
Diba? I want Roman Reigns to be The Rome.
No. No.
I want him to join the Authority. Because in that opening segment with Triple H, where Triple H was basically tempting Roman Reigns to come over to the dark side. We got the cookies. We can make you the champion you never were.
They may be building up a swerve there, though. I'm seeing... Because I've always thought that WWE doesn't care about Ambrose. So I'm surprised he lasted out of the first round. I thought it was going to be Breeze or something. Or if it's like a fair win. Ambrose and Ziggler, those are two people that we all want to win.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And on the flip side, we want Cesaro to win against Reigns.
Which he probably
It's not going to happen. Oh, shit, if that happens, man. That would be the best. I'm not hating on Reigns. Reigns is actually pretty exciting. I like his style. But there are a lot of people who I like more. I'm sorry. Not because of their indie backgrounds or something, but... Well, it may seem that way, but I really want Ziggler to win this. The path he is in could actually rebuild what's lost when he was booked... When he was mishandled the past year.
Post-Survivor Series, Ambrose, yeah.
And then if Owen wins for the semifinals and they would meet, and Ziggler beats Owens clean.
Yeah.
That would rebuild him because he's over anyway.
Right, right. Actually, when you look at the tournament, medyo predictable siya, yung boot order. It's kind of like getting spoilers for a season of Survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know who's going to get voted out one by one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing about this tournament, now I just want to mention before we dive deeper into the matchups and shit, is it actually exposes the lack of depth sa upper echelon of or echelon of WWE. Kasi, yeah, you have the Roman Reignses and the Dolph Zigglers and to a lesser extent Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Del Rio and all that stuff. Pero really, Kalisto, could we not have made space for the New Day?
New Day should have been there, I think. They should break off probably Kofi to do singles.
No. You know what would have been what would have been compelling? No, dude. A slot for the New Day where they can just tag in and tag out.
That's too free birded.
So first round,
free bird the whole tournament.
First round to Xavier. Yeah, next round to Big E or see Kofi, right? And they can just free bird it, exactly.
Yeah. But they have a very huge responsibility in rebuilding the tag team division. And I think probably one or two guys in there and that we know that would probably lose would actually hurt them more than maybe winning, than gaining steam. Unless they had one New Day guy in the finals, which is would be awesome.
I would actually argue now it would help if you had like a New Day guy make the finals.
Yeah.
Or semifinals, about but get them far just to see them work their shenanigans in singles matchups in that type of setting.
Yeah. On contrary to what you say, I think it actually shows the depth because there's a lot of people there who hasn't held the belt that we want to win. That's the thing. Like, I know that Kalisto or Titus would be, I think Titus is the only one that I didn't want to see there. And probably Sheamus. But Sheamus has the money in the bank anyway.
Yeah.
So I think this goes back to just this. They probably had just like a bunch of superstars who are just wild cards. They probably had like, the choice was made in like, oh, maybe they'll be over. They will lose. But if they lose, we don't lose that much. But if they got over and they lose, maybe we can push them again in some other scenario. So these are probably guys that lost in the first round. These are probably guys that are like low risk guys, like Titus. Who cares about Titus outside of like doing the cancer things?
Or outside of the prime time players.
Yeah. So and also Kalisto, which won.
Yeah, he did win. He won on SmackDown.
So
this week.
I think they're pretty confident with Ryback retaining a lot of his heat or whatever his reputation how do you call this like strength or something. So actually I'm pretty surprised Kalisto won.
Yeah, I'm surprised myself because I haven't seen SmackDown yet, but I know that Kalisto advances. So let's take a look at the matchups here in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And let's make this observation first. Of the 8 guys who have qualified for the quarterfinals, only Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio have been world champion before.
Yeah.
And if we're going to restrict this to the WWE belt, only ADR has held it before.
Yeah.
So outside of ADR and Ziggler, there's bound to be a brand new champion, Roman Reigns. So we've got Roman Reigns versus Cesaro, which we can predict safely that it's going to be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, booking-wise, like I think everybody's expecting Reigns to do it. Now it's just like a matter of seeding if he turns or not.
For me, kasi, I think this would be Cesaro coming in with a chip on his shoulder. I think he will want to make a show out of this match with Roman Reigns. Yeah, he's going to lose, but he's going to look as best as he can while getting pinned by the end of the match.
With a very good opponent, because Roman Reigns, he makes a lot of, like, he doesn't do 5-star matches, I think. Like, his matches are always kind of in the level of, like, 3.5 to 4.5 stars.
Yung best match niya pa rin para sa akin was that match against Daniel Bryan at Fastlane in February.
Oh, that's because he had, like, a very good dance partner. I think that was good. But when he had Bray, because Bray, I think, has a hard time pulling off great matches. Because the last great match I've seen with Bray is probably with Daniel Bryan. We're going back to this. Which I will bring up later, by the way. Reigns is against Cesaro. Yeah. Great dance partner.
Right.
Great, amazing styles against each other. Cesaro is very, very used to making a great match with a person with a similar style, because every time he gets into ring with Sheamus, Barrett, or did he have a match against Owens? Owens.
Yes, he has. Yeah,
like a Smash Mouth style.
Mm.
It's a good match all the time. So I'm very excited with Reigns Cesaro. Outside of all the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals. Para sa akin, like of the quarterfinal matchups, Reigns versus Cesaro has pick of the week potential.
Yes.
Like I would say that this will
and
only
that's like picking out of like a matchup between Ziggler Ambrose. We have Owens against
Neville. and this one,
Del Rio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. So, Kalisto versus Del Rio, because I think that could give Rey and Cesaro a run for its money.
Yeah. I might recant my statement. No, I'll stick with it. I'll stick with Rey and Cesaro for the best match of the quarterfinals.
The thing about Del Rio Kalisto, una, yeah, nakakagulat na si Kalisto yung nag-advance.
Yeah.
Second though, you have two luchadors basically going at it in a WWE setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know, for fans of Lucha Libre, this is as best as it can get in a high stakes
environment.
That's true.
But I think Kalisto is more lucha.
Yeah.
Because ADR is very he's more of a striker than a luchador type of thing. I think they have a term for that in Mexico, I don't know. They have terms for the type of wrestlers you are.
Right. But yeah. Del Rio still has that Lucha Libre background, which I'm pretty sure Kalisto can bring out of him, just because they have that. They have it in them.
Yeah.
It is in their DNA as wrestlers.
It's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Like they're gonna throw psychology out of the window. Probably they should, because it's Lucha Libre, man. Come on.
Yes and no, because I know that Del Rio is actually the type of wrestler who takes psychology
very seriously. Yeah.
He works a body part extensively before applying, say, cross arm breaker. He doesn't do anymore.
He's like Mexican Bret Hart.
Yes. Except with more personality.
Yes.
Outside of this whole Mexa America bullshit na ginagawa niya with Zeb Coulter, I actually want Del Rio to make it far, and I predict he will. Kasi I'm pegging him as Roman's semifinal opponent.
Now that I think that Kalisto, I thought it was going to be Del Rio versus Ryback.
Yeah.
So I thought Del Rio would just steamroll over Ryback, things like that. Like put Del Rio over. But now it's Kalisto. Maybe they're giving Kalisto a chance. I don't know. Like, Del Rio already has the US belt.
Yeah.
So, I think a Kalisto win would have a more interesting matchup with whoever's going to win Reigns Cesaro, which is going to be Reigns. So,
here's my take lang, really quickly, before we get to yung next quarterfinal bracket. Alberto Del Rio has to win this kasi Kalisto isn't established as a single star. You bring ADR back at Hell in a Cell, you give him a winning streak because he's champion.
That's
he comes
true.
Back, his first match, champion.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a match since then. To give him that loss finally against Kalisto of all people, for me, would be counterintuitive to WWE's traditional booking style.
That's true. But the way I see it is that I didn't say, but I failed to mention, I don't think Kalisto's going to win, but he's probably going to win unclean. Like, it's going to be Chamba win. Parang ganun yung booking.
Or yung tipong si Jack Swagger interfere.
And Alberto Del Rio, he can pull that off. Like, he can, these guys can then probably pull something off, like, probably set up a much needed feud with against Del Rio. Probably someone will interfere.
Swagger, who Del Rio is feuding
Swagger,
with right now. Yeah.
Who actually needs a lot of ring time, because Swagger's good, man. But, you know, he needs to get out there. He's a good mid-card wrestler. So I think Kalisto could get, like, a win by interference or something. Probably put a little chink on the Mex-American armor with Jack Swagger, and then probably set up something like a program heading into Survivor Series.
All right, let's agree to disagree on that one.
Yes,
but that's
actually
a very interesting possibility.
Yeah.
On the other side, you got Intercontinental Champion Kevin Owens going up against the Man at the Gravity Forgot, Neville. That's a matchup that we have seen before.
Yes.
I think we have seen this before. And
on NXT.
Heading into 2015... Everybody has been talking about the NXT 5.
Yeah.
And now
so
that
we got two.
Two of them are on the main roster and are in this tournament going up against each other, this is a nerdgasm for people like
it
us.
It is.
So I'm expecting...
I can just give a shout out to John Rebel, as we call him, Ronja. He's probably having like 13 orgasms on this matchup already.
I'm expecting Owens to advance, obviously. Pero this match alone gives me the chills, just because I know that they can work. We've seen this happen before.
I agree. I think it's just a matter of how creative the finish will be.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm very excited to see these people work. Probably Red Arrow into Powerbomb. I don't know.
Ang lala nun.
Yeah, lala nun.
If that happened.
Yeah.
And yung last quarterfinal matchup, Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose. This one really can go either way. Kasi we've talked about this just a bit earlier. Now, Dolph Ziggler needs this every bit as much as Dean Ambrose does. One thing I want to bring up about Dean Ambrose is, I don't know if you've noticed this, pero as a performer, he steps up the most when he's in a main event capacity.
Yes.
Or when he's in a main event setting. Remember when he feuded with Rollins last year, which yes. culminated at Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
Remember yung
good match,
diba? The his world title shots against Rollins earlier this year.
Yeah.
Or when he was in the Fatal 4-Way feud shortly after WrestleMania.
When Reigns got injured, I think he filled in for Hell in a Cell.
Yes, he did. He did. So the point I'm trying to make with Dean Ambrose is, if you give him a shot to be in the main event, you give him something to care about. Therefore, he will perform at his best. But if he's in the mid card, you'll feel it then that he's meandering, that he's just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like someone like, I don't want to say Nick Young in the NBA, pero parang ganun eh.
Parang ano, step up lang.
No, sorry. Dion Waiters is the more appropriate comparison. Dion Waiters is kind of talented, but if he doesn't give a shit, if he's not in a high-stakes situation, he'll just shoot you out of the ballgame.
Yeah.
But if he cares, if he knows that he's got a quality role in the OKC rotation, he will actually be a streaky shooter enough to win them games.
I think I'd like to compare it to basketball-wise. I'd like to compare it to Iguodala. Andre Iguodala, who wasn't used that much last season, he had a role,
yeah,
and he was fulfilling that role.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was needed and people were calling his name out, he performed. Like when Reigns got injured, Dean Ambrose performed.
Yeah,
that's how I felt like Dean Ambrose is that he's this team player guy. He's like the new Jericho.
Uh-huh.
So I think if you want him in the main event, he'll be the best wrestler in the card. But if you want him in the mid card, he'd set the main event people up. That's the thing.
Feeling ko lang talaga, you just have to give Dean Ambrose, isn't the guy behind the Dean Ambrose character. Yeah, you just have to give him something to care about so that he can step up his game.
Yeah, what I like about this matchup is that two guys that WWE doesn't want to push. So it's probably like Sophie's Choice for Vince McMahon right now. Who do I book to win? I don't know, man. This is a toss-up. Do you have any predictions on
that? Ako Ambrose pa rin. Kasi I'm still sticking to my guns.
Is this a prediction or who you want to win?
I really don't care who wins this matchup eh.
Because they're all going to lose anyway.
Yes, to Roman Reigns. Which is why, yung nga, if I was going to predict anyway and call out something I want to see, it'll be Ambrose winning this. Kasi Reigns versus Ambrose for me is the money matchup in the finals.
I think these guys will probably win and probably win against either one of them. If they win, they will win against Owens in a very parang out of nowhere kind of situation, like probably a roll up. It's clean, but it's like yung parang how Reigns went over with like the pop-up powerbomb Superman punch spear thing.
Yeah,
so I have a feeling that was because they need to keep Owens strong because he has a strap on.
Yep.
So Ziggler, but like preference, I can't make a prediction, but preference, I would want Ambrose just because I wanted to see Owens versus Ambrose.
Ang gusto kong mangyari with the tournament is, I mentioned this earlier, it kind of resets the storylines.
Yeah.
It resets canon. So I want this to reset feuds. Like feuds that didn't really have much steam behind them, like say the Cesaro Stardust one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if they kind of loosen up on it and let it go if it allows Cesaro to feud with somebody who either interferes in his matchup with Reigns or with Roman Reigns down the road. You get where this is going.
Yeah, surprisingly, everything is clean. No? Everything buys clean.
Like, not necessarily, because Owen still is... he wrapped up his feud with Ryback. But you've got the Cesaro Stardust feud.
Yeah.
You've got Kalisto feuding with the New Day because of his Lucha Dragons thing. Ryback has been in and out of the main event scene because sometimes he helps out Team Reigns, diba?
Yeah, yun yung malaking question mark eh. Yung Kalisto-Ryback talaga eh. Parang hindi ko talaga magets ko nung tinatry nilang gawin with Kalisto.
Plus you got two faces here and then Del Rio Stardust is heel versus heel naman.
Yeah.
Diba? So it's weird because it goes against your tradition, but if Ro were here, he would say it wouldn't matter.
I would think na parang it's heel versus heel, face versus face because parang they still have like a story going on na parang it's just for the title, right? So matchups won't matter.
Yes.
But it's also a setup with like the semifinals being more compelling because it's going to be face versus heel for sure.
You're right. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially if yung prediction natin na Kevin Owens advances and he faces either Ziggler or Ambrose.
Yes.
I want that because I know that neither of those guys are really going to be championed by Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I want that to extend into an intercontinental title feud.
Ah, pwede.
Seeing Owens feud with either Dolph or Dean would be money.
Yeah. I actually predicted Kevin Owens against Dolph Ziggler in Romania. I'm not sure if it's going to stand.
Here's a fun fact. Dolph Ziggler has never had a one-on-one match at WrestleMania.
Oh, that sucks.
He has never had a singles match.
Man, he's been there for a while.
As a main roster guy since 2009.
Wow. So, mas may singles match pa si Cody Rhodes sa kanya.
Yes.
Wow.
Mas may singles match pa si... I'm not sure about Kofi Kingston. Parang wala rin si Kofi Kingston.
Well, Kofi Kingston's a lifer. But, parang wala rin.
Parang wala rin siya singles match, diba?
Nothing comes to mind, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, si Ryback meron pa. He had fucking Mark Henry at
29. Well, he had like a very, very super push. So, which I enjoyed, by the way.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. Okay, this is like a fantasy thing right now. Is that this is one of the swerves that I think, because everything now is straightforward.
Yeah.
And I think they're just going to swerve it with booking. Because I think everybody's predicting Reigns, right? Mm. And I mean, that's also the logical choice to do. Unless, you know, like if you ask me, I would book it very differently. But Reigns would probably get the belt. But how he gets there is weird. I'm kind of semi-predicting and I'm kind of semi-wishing that one semi-final match would be a draw.
Okay.
And that we'd have triple threat. Something like that.
Very unconventional.
Yeah, something like that.
Kasi ako, ang fantasy scenario ko for Roman Reigns is he makes it to the finals as a babyface, especially after the opening segment he had with Trips this week.
Yeah.
He turns heel in the finals.
Yeah.
Especially if kalaban ni si Dean Ambrose, because that gives the heel turn all the gravitas it needs to make it a super blood feud.
Yeah.
Parang after Roman Reigns was on his high horse for the better part of the last 2 years,
yes.
He's the one who finally says, you know what? I tried the high road. I can't get to the championship. So now I have to go through any means necessary, and that means selling my soul and becoming the Rome.
Yeah, pwede, no? They could make an in-match turn. Probably Reigns couldn't put Ambrose away.
Yep.
Ah, oh, man, so legit.
Like, bring back J&J, bring in whoever. Someone from the authority. Someone, anyone. Diba? That would be nuts. That would be great.
That was great. That would be crazy, though.
Are we good? Like, any other insights or points you want to bring up about like the tournament or you know anything else on Raw, like the Divas?
Yeah, the only regret that I hate about this tournament is that one of the largest heels that they have, and I'm just talking about size, is not in the tournament, which is Bray Wyatt.
That's true.
So,
because he's focused on his thing with the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, which I'm not really so. Are we going to talk about that? Or?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that really quickly. Because I thought it was cool na bumalik sila side by side in London.
Yeah.
I thought Taker still looks lean. You know, that was
Kane
good.
Looks huge, though. Yeah.
Next to Taker, diba?
Yeah.
Kasi nag-lean na si Undertaker. Eh.
Yeah.
I think that's good, but we're 2 weeks from Survivor Series, and we still don't know if we're getting the classic 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. And that's a problem.
So, I think in SmackDown, you mentioned off the record that I think Bray challenged them into a tag team.
Parang ganun. Like, I'm not sure if I understand this correctly, and I know somebody's bound to correct me on Twitter or somewhere. Now, Bray essentially told the brothers that they can pick any two guys from the Wyatt family to take on at Survivor Series, which I think is bullshit if that's really the plan.
Man. People are expecting a 5-on-5.
A 4-on-4. I could forgive a 4-on-4.
Yeah, finally, like a 4-on-4. Like, I have a feeling na parang that's a swerve thing. Like, maybe Taker's gonna do like a face setup, you know what I mean? And then Taker will answer like, no, I'll take you all on. And things like that.
No,
and
that's
then,
dumb.
And then, no, but it's Taker. You know what I mean? It's a face thing. I'll take you all on. It's one versus all from the start. You know, like things like that. No, that's Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, because they're the Brothers of Destruction. Yeah, they can clean those jabronis out. I mean, to them, they probably are jabronis. But I see people backing them up. And this very... this is very like childish, as in like parang this is just grasping into like a dream, but there are rumors swirling around that Finn Balor would be the demon to succeed Kane.
I would love that,
and I think Kane could use another old ally, which is Daniel Bryan.
Ah,
because Daniel Bryan has been cleared by doctors.
Yeah,
not WWE doctors.
Yeah,
the doctors. So they could fast track that thing,
yeah.
And if they need like a new injection of, they've been known to make desperate moves at times like this time, So, like, their ratings are down. They need an injection of people.
Yeah.
So, why not fast-track Daniel Bryan's
return?
Return.
Ang problem kasi is they're still waiting on the word of a third doctor, di ba? If this third doctor clears Bryan, he's good to go. And if he doesn't, he has to retire from WWE.
Yeah, so they could, like, Vince could easily just talk to that doctor, man. And just, like, pay him, like, a lump sum of money or something.
I don't know. I mean, the Finn Balor possibility makes me happy. Kasi I think he would fit in well. Imagine all the epic entrances from the Wyatts, the Taker, to Kane, to Balor. Yeah, like, that would be majorly awesome.
And we've had a lot of, like, it's kind of like a full circle thing, because Taker debuted in Survivor Series as this, like, mystic
dead man zombie
thing. So
on the Million Dollar Man's team.
Yeah. So this could be like Finn Balor's thing.
I like how you tied it together.
Yes.
Na parang passing of the torch.
Now, I should be a booker.
Daniel Bryan, though, would be good, but he seems the most out of place. Eh.
But Team Hell No, that's what I'm thinking, is that there's four of the Wyatts there.
Yeah.
So,
and he has history with the Wyatts.
It's like super, yeah, exactly. So that's like super swerve. So they'll bring up Balor as a third entrant, that third guy to make an entrance in the Brothers of Destruction team. So they'll probably bring out Kane, probably Undertaker and Kane go out together, and then there's gonna be like, oh, who are they gonna side with? And Finn Balor first swerve,
yeah,
and then maybe as they're about to enter the match, then like the Daniel Bryan music hits,
Flight of the Valkyries, yeah,
and then like people would lose their heads, people will tell people, hey man, you still have time to order the pay per view and things like that. People will order the network, like things that will happen if Daniel Bryan debuts.
I would pop like mad if that happened, but
because he's known to show up in elimination tag team matches, you know, like in SummerSlam,
yeah. Nagawa na nga niya yan, 5 years ago.
Yeah, that could be his thing.
That was the match, by the way, that got me back into wrestling.
Really?
Yes, because the build-up to that that match, yung rivalry, was being watched on this computer by one of our longtime spinners. And I was there as a student DJ in the booth. So pansin ko, puta, sino mga bagong kalaban nila Edge and John Cena?
When did you stop?
I stopped shortly after WrestleMania 24.
Wow.
So mga 2 years. Mga 2 years akong
two years.
Nag-stop. Right. So I stopped for a bit, and then I just noticed all these new guys with the letter N on their biceps, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. They look like a new faction. And they got Edge, who's a bad guy, and Jericho, who's a bad guy. Because I kept tabs, so knew who was good.
Results.
Right. But I didn't know the stories.
We all had that face.
So
it's called when we're doing the thesis phase. We don't watch the wrestling
I wasn't
anymore.
Doing thesis none. I was in first year, second year.
Oh shit.
So I was relatively light in terms of schedule, diba? Pero when I saw that shit, and then they had that traditional elimination match at at SummerSlam, dun ako napabalik sa wrestling because of that feud, because of Daniel Bryan's entrance. So.
In relation to that, when Daniel Bryan debuted in NXT and had this match with Jericho, which is like one of my all-time favorites, and it had an amazing match, that was like one of the times in the thing that we talked about kanina sa interview, that was one of the times na parang I googled hard on a wrestling school. Like, I was really looking for like a wrestling school. And that and the pipe bomb.
Man.
2011.
So those were the inspirations.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Divas really quickly before we go to NXT?
Yes.
Okay, so we got two simultaneous feuds, diba? You have the Team Bad versus Natty feud.
Which is amazing.
I think it's interesting because it sets up a lot of possibilities with Sasha Banks. There are people on the internet who are speculating that the more that they are keeping Sasha Banks out, it's actually Vince or Kevin Dunn's way of holding Sasha Banks back.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I like that the last match that Natty had, she was like, where are you, Sasha? Like, things like that in mid-match. I don't know if that's like part of the booking or whatever, but I like it because people are actually recognizing who should be on top. Second is, I love it that there's another program that's not about the title.
Yeah.
That, like on the women's program, right?
That makes sense.
Because women's programs are always just about the title or always about a guy.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Yeah.
And now this is just like, you know, they're out to prove themselves. And here goes Natalia, who's there sweeping the Team Bad. And they're going to put over Sasha Banks hard.
Mm.
Like, I'm talking about probably Survivor Series, probably second or third match. probably going to steal the show.
The way I look at it, I want to look at it from a more optimistic point of view. Because Sasha Banks is kind of like female Daniel Bryan at this point.
Yes, with the amount
of heat she's got.
Yes.
Right? Even though she's a heel, she's kind of like female Daniel Bryan. And I want to look at this glass half full.
Yeah.
Such that WWE recognizes they have a gem in the boss. So they're going to try to hold her back as much as they can so that when she finally gets into a match in a high-stakes situation, people are going to lose their shit.
They will.
Because it's the basic principle of supply and demand. Diba? Now you make them clamor for it. And then, okay, it's not maybe a basic principle, but it ties back into it. Now,
if it's deliberate that they're doing it,
that's smart.
They're doing a good job.
And they're doing it well.
Yeah.
But if they're haphazardly doing it and they unconsciously are doing it lang without realizing what they're doing, tang ina nakakaburat, diba?
Yeah. But Vince said it himself, like, you can't just put a jetpack on someone and expect them to be over. If they're over, they won't hold back anyone. Probably they would.
But they held back Cesaro. They've held back Cesaro. I think he and Daniel Bryan were the biggest examples of people being held back when they knew, actively knew, that they had organic support from the audience.
Yeah, but they did succumb against both WrestleManias, where it was dictated, the results of both past two WrestleManias was dictated by people.
That's the thing, eh?
Because Daniel Bryan was inserted in the main event because of the reaction. They listened, like, kahit sabihin
they listened
last
too
minute.
Late, right?
Yeah, kahit sabihin mo last minute.
But that shouldn't be the case.
That's what makes it amazing, because parang alam mo yun, they adapt to it and they listen to the people. And 31, they listened na parang Reigns is not championship
ready.
Material.
Yeah, it's not ready.
And they gave it to the indie choice, the smart choice.
See, I like how it all ended up.
Yes.
Diba? Because those were great moments.
Yes.
And we look back on those moments with fondness.
Yes.
Kahit na medyo recent siya, I bet 10 years from now, you and I are going to be sitting at a bar and we'll still be talking about this shit with fondness. My problem with those is they let the crowd dictate yung results because the crowd was angry. But why can't you just give it to them in the first place so that everybody's happy? Right. But why did you have to let it exacerbate to this level?
Oh, nga, no. We've never had a parang
an organically good WrestleMania build up in quite a while.
Mahirap na. Like the last time I think was probably Cena.
Cena from 2008 when he returned after that long ass injury.
Hindi pa. No, I'm thinking Cena against JBL.
2005, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Diba, back when Cena was
because when Cena had the belts and Orton had the belts, it was all about them until probably WrestleMania 30.
I would say that the ship started to like go in a different direction. WrestleMania 27 pa nga, when Randy Orton was facing CM Punk.
Yes.
And then 28, Randy Orton was facing Kane. 29, Randy Orton was facing The Shield.
Yeah.
Consider this. Since WrestleMania 25 or 26, I think 25, Randy Orton did not participate in a world title match until WrestleMania 30. And we're just talking about WrestleMania here. So, you know, parang medyo nag-digress ng direction nila.
Yeah.
But just going back to the Divas really quickly now, the other feud we failed to mention was Paige versus Team PCB.
Yeah.
Or Team CB, which I loved yung dialogue ni Paige with Renee Young backstage.
Yes.
Yung sinabi na, I'm gonna take out the B and then I'm gonna take out the C. Kasi that's a good way of speaking aggressively in the PG generation.
Yeah.
Diba na parang, if you're an adult, you can put it together. But if you're a kid, she's referring to Charlotte and Becky. Cause C and B. Diba? It's good. It's brilliant. I'm actually liking where this feud is going.
Galing. Magaling si Paige, man. I think right now, she's very much settled in to her character, because when she debuted, she was very awkward. Like she was shouting na parang weird na parang di ko maintindihan or whatever. Now Paige looks amazing. Like even I don't want to be like all misogynistic about it, but she looks amazing. And another thing, that she looks really really threatening in the ring, because like her moveset is amazing.
Yeah.
Siguro psychology, I don't want to comment because I'm not that good at psychology, but she does have some great matches.
She has better psychology than Charlotte at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to this point na parang now the Charlotte, because Charlotte's been exposed. That's what I'm saying. Charlotte's been exposed with the Bellas, na parang I think she needs always needs a good dance partner.
Mm-hmm.
Parang ganun. Because she had that with Bailey, Becky, and Natalya, and Sasha Banks. But now, nung against Nikki Bella, parang feeling ko siya yung transitional champion ngayon. Yung feeling ko eh. Like, they're only doing this page feud. Then, mamaya, later on, they're probably gonna have Paige and Charlotte trade belts. They're gonna put Paige in another program by WrestleMania season. And then they should build up to the Four Horsewomen on WrestleMania. Fucking main event the show if they have to.
I actually want that to happen. That the Four Horsewomen appear at WrestleMania.
Because they can.
Because they can, yeah. I just want Charlotte to improve right now. And I think Paige can be that partner to like bring it out of her.
Yeah, they'll probably trade belts.
Force her to step up her game, right? Yeah. Because Paige's psychology is on a whole different level than Charlotte's.
Yes.
Yung kay Becky, I think, is like in between at this point. Because you're right. I love that take na Charlotte's weaknesses were exposed in her matches with Nikki Bella.
Yes.
But your finisher is the figure eight, but she fails to work the legs.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's one of my
signature is the spear. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. One of my frequent gripes, which is why I hated The Miz when he started doing the figure four, because he never worked the legs.
Yes, sobrang.
Surprisingly, though, in the match against Dolph, he worked the legs a lot.
Dapat lang. I think Dolph took direction in that match. I think Dolph said, "Miz worked my leg."
Mm.
It wouldn't make sense. Like, if Miz didn't work the leg and Dolph got the win, he would have been booked very weakly. So I think somebody told someone that you should do proper psychology.
Right. Now let's switch gears a bit and talk about the last 2 weeks of NXT. Because we've seen a title change now. NXT Tag Team Championships. The Vaudevillains were defeated by the Mechanics. So now Dash and Dawson are your new NXT Tag Team Champions.
I'm a fan of those guys.
I love how they just are so old school. Na they
classic,
cut the ring in half.
Yeah.
Tama yung comparison. Tama yung comparison nina Corey Graves on commentary. Because they've got this southern feel, so they're kind of they bring out the Andersons vibe.
Ang galing. Oh, nga, no?
Arn and Oli.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So they have that style to them.
Psychology is turned up to the maximum when they have a match.
When they have a match, exactly. And sina Aiden English and Simon Gotch, they're taller than Dash and Dawson.
Yes,
but they're much more sinewy compared to those compared to the Mechanics.
Yeah. But those guys are character guys. That's
they
what
are.
I think. Yeah.
So, what happened to them was character was thrown out the window, and because they were made to look like underdogs, talaga.
Uh-huh.
So I love what they did in that match. It wasn't as insane as they built it up to be in the spoilers.
Yeah.
But I appreciated how Dash and Dawson really worked in that match to make the Vaudevillains look great in defeat. Lalo na si Aiden English, because it was his leg that was basically tortured throughout that match.
Yeah, basically kasi if you have great psychology, you won't bury anyone kung tinalo mo sila, because it would make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if Bret Hart wins against Yokozuna, because he worked the leg.
Yeah.
You know, may tactic siya na parang sobrang believable na you would think na parang, ah, hindi dahil banu si Yokozuna. It's because magaling si Bret Hart.
And you he was able to exploit that weakness.
Yeah, it's able to exploit that weakness. You know what I mean? So, great psychology is always, it's beneficial for everybody. So, the Vaudevillains probably didn't lose a lot of steam.
Yeah.
Here, yeah.
Taking off from that point of psychology, I want to talk about Nia Jax really quickly. I don't know if you've seen her.
Nia Jax.
See, Nia Jax, I think, is an imposing woman.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw her, I wouldn't want to mess with her.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
she's huge. She's threatening, but the fact that she smiles the way she does, plus her entrance theme, it just doesn't add up to me.
Yeah.
Lalo na una when they came, when they made
what
her come
she?
Out and look
is
like Princess Jasmine.
Heel?
I think she's heel.
What?
She's a monster heel at this point. The way they're booking her.
Yeah.
But you can't have a monster heel who dresses up like Princess Jasmine in a bodysuit.
Yeah, weird, sobra.
Tapos napaka-pop pa nung entrance theme niya.
Yeah.
I want it to be menacing. I want it to be like, you know,
because the teasers were like, you know, like really menacing. Tapos bilang yung music niya labo, tapos yung tsura niya, like all blue, sparkly and shit.
But now she wears black bodysuits.
Oh, that's good.
Like this week. So that was a step in the right direction. The smiley thing, I think, doesn't work a lot for me kasi mas bagay siya kay Asuka.
Yeah.
Asuka really
looks
pulled
really
it off.
Crazy, yeah.
Yes. Diba? Yung smile parang, I'm batshit nuts and I'm gonna fuck you up.
I haven't been paying attention, though. Is she really getting over, see Nia Jax?
Nia Jax is kind of getting over, yeah. I think she needs to... She's rough, in the ring.
Yeah.
which I think is just right for her style, because she's supposed to be bigger than everybody else.
And who do they have for Bayley?
Bayley is currently feuding with Alexa. So Alexa took the title and she ran away with it.
Corny.
This week's episode. The last, on last 2 weeks, we might as well talk about the championship scene.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
No, we have to get that out of the way. Alexa Bliss is bae.
Yeah.
She
super.
Is.
Super.
Blake is one lucky motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get that out of the way, too. The championship scene is nice right now because you got Finn Balor going up against Samoa Joe.
Love it.
And then Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin, they have semi-main event feud status.
Yeah. So are they doing a fail four-way?
No, they're not. They're not. Magkahiwalay sila.
Okay.
So this week, Baron Corbin was supposed to squash Ty Dillinger, but before he could even face the Perfect 10, Apollo Crews came out and
wow.
beat him up.
Wow, that's nice.
So, host fight lang talaga.
Yeah, well, it's a nice edge because parang Apollo Crews hasn't been anything but just this black guy
who smiles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's smiling black guy.
Yeah. So now he's angry. Now he said something. He in a backstage promo, sinabi niya, "I'm going to take your arms, Baron Corbin, and I'm going to break you."
Ooh.
So konti lang sinabi niya, pero it conveyed.
That's a very un-black promo. Like, very technical. It's supposed to be, I'm gonna jack your car.
But it's a nice edge, right?
Yeah.
And then I might as well get into this one. The Finn Balor Joe feud has captivated me to the point where Samoa Joe's promo this week explaining his actions for turning heel the previous week is my pick of the week.
Okay, you told me the story off the air. Yeah.
Right. The promo is basically Samoa Joe saying that he analyzed human psychology.
Yeah.
And that everything we do is dictated by the choices we make and the actions we do afterward.
Yeah.
So you make a choice, and then after that, you do an action based on that choice.
Yes.
So you either follow through on that choice or you renege on that choice. So sinabi niya na when Finn Balor went up to him and asked him to be his tag team partner in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, he made a choice. And he followed it up with an action, which is to stick with Finn Balor. And in his words, carry Finn Balor through the tournament. So he's getting his heel heat and all that. And he followed it up by winning everything. Now, after they won the tournament, he asked Finn Balor to give him an NXT title shot. And Finn Balor made the choice. And his actions did not back up that choice because he let William Regal come in and put Joe in the Battle Royal. So nagyabang na siya na, do you know who I am? I'm fucking Samoa Joe. I don't deserve to be in a battle royal. It's an insult to me. It's a slap to my face.
Nice.
So that promo, when he put that together, it was just so good and so brilliant because he was able to explain all of his motivations in a very brief and succinct manner.
And all the loose ends around
were tied up.
Yeah.
All the history was brought in.
Yeah.
And it was just so good because it gave the feud purpose.
Yes, it saved it from being just, I just want a strap feud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Parang it became personal.
Yes.
So that's why that's my pick of the week. Kasi
galing.
It was able to tell the story of the last few weeks when we'd all been theorizing, Joe's going to turn heel here.
Yeah.
He's going to do this, going to do that. And then at the same time, it also was able to establish that this is where they're going to go moving forward.
See, this is what I love about Joe, is that he's one of my top five all time. And you expect these things from Joe, but when he does it, it still amazes you. It's amazing. Like, you know he's a good talker. You know he's a good storyteller. But when he does it, he'll always surprise you. And that's why he's probably a contemporary wrestler who has the most Meltzer 5-stars in stateside.
So, I didn't know that. That's a great fun fact.
I think that's a fact. I'm not sure. But
wow.
Yeah. Outside of the Japanese people who always gets like 5 stars like every month. So yeah, it's probably Joe who has the most 5-star stateside.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're excited about where this Finn Balor feud is
yes,
going.
Yes, I am very excited. These guys have amazing styles, amazing storytelling, amazing psychology. So I'm all for it.
Now, heading in as we close the podcast, what is your pick of the week? Since you get the honor of picking one, since you guest co-hosted with me tonight.
Yeah. Okay. My pick of the week is probably Reigns versus. Cesaro versus Sheamus, because it is a match that Cesaro proves that he connects with the people.
Yeah.
It's a great match with even incorporated the celebrity in it.
and it incorporated two people that were in the background for a long time, like Sheamus and Barrett. And I always like, I like Sheamus, but not as much that I would give him the strap again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he pulls out a great match against people na parang who needs a great match. And it's Cesaro na parang you would expect na parang shit, baka pumangit lang yung reputation ni Cesaro after having a shitty match with Sheamus, or probably you would expect that maybe Sheamus would give Cesaro a concussion, things like that. So everything worked out great. It's such an amazing, entertaining match for like a first round that they were all squashes. Like basically all of them were squashes.
Hindi naman. I thought that, no, you know what? Cesaro Sheamus was the most competitive one.
Yeah, yeah, yun nga eh. That's what I think.
Among all the matches. Yeah, yeah. My only issue with that match was Wayne Rooney's involvement. Because all throughout the match, Barrett and Sheamus were talking trash to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was so stoic.
Yeah.
Too chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Parang, in the end, he would snap. Like, you'd want to see him build up to that point where he hits Wade Barrett. And even then, it was just
a
tap to the face and Barrett sold it like a motherfucker.
Well, celebrity involvements are always a tough thing. That's why I'm giving them extra credit for actually pulling off a great match while incorporating that little bit of celebrity thing. So that's like a little more of like a parang, parang you guys are like, you had all these mandatories,
right?
And you pull it off. So parang alam mo yun.
This goes to the bigger point. Now, when you incorporate a celebrity into a segment, the celebrity has to be a fan. Because if the celebrity isn't a fan, they won't give a shit.
Because probably the best celebrity segment that we've had in the past recent decade is probably Amel.
Yeah. Stephen Amell, and
because he's a fan.
A close second, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. He took the heat, man. Amel took the heat in the match. I thought he was gonna get the hot tag.
Ako rin.
Yeah.
But he took the punishment like a real like a real wrestler.
And he even did a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Hugh Jackman naman, he wasn't afraid to be involved to the point na yung sapak niya kay Ziggler at the time was legit.
Yeah.
He got a hairline, Ziggler got a hairline fracture from a Hugh Jackman right hand.
Yeah, because I think sa wrestler backstage, they'd rather have the celebs do it legit para magsmong. They'd rather be hurt instead of like receiving a pangit na suntok.
Yeah, a half-assed hit.
Yeah.
So what Wayne Rooney did was a half-assed hit.
It was super half-assed.
You know what? If we were going to rank celebrities who got involved, Machine Gun Kelly has to be in there.
Taking that power bomb
from Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
Tumaas yung respeto ko for MGK for that.
Anyway. Ako rin, actually. I was like, I didn't know this guy. I started looking him up after that power bomb.
I love this stuff from 2012.
Yeah, I'm saying.
But anyway, that's probably for another podcast.
Yes.
Anyway, Redrick Mahaba, once again, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Keeping me company this week on the podcast.
Yes. Thank you for letting me be a smart.
At the end of the day, this is what we all are.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you wouldn't be in this community.
I wouldn't be wrestling and slaving my ass off at boot camp if I wasn't a fan. So I'm always a fan at heart.
Always goes back to this, man.
Yeah.
Next week, Ro and Camus will be back, and we'll probably have another one of the PWR guys, either someone new or maybe someone you are familiar with already. Bottom line is, we're going to talk about PWR Live, which is happening November 28th at the iAcademy Auditorium. But this is a big but. We will be present on Wednesday, November 18th. Or is that 17? Basta, Yeselmania is happening next
18,
week.
18.
On Wednesday, November 18, at Route 196.
That's in Katipunan Extension.
Right, I was about to say 168. Tana Chinese talaga, diba? Anyway, Yeselmania is a rock concert where a lot of bands will be coming up to perform your favorite wrestling themes.
Wow. Oh, they had the Owen ones there. I performed with the Owen ones before, and they're really good.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. The PWR guys will be there. I will be there, and we'll also be, you know, I think we might take photos. We might sign some of the boys might sign autographs.
I will probably follow through because I have a gig on the same road in UP Town Center.
Oh, malapit lang.
So after my gig, I'll run over to Yeselmania.
So yun, nasa Katipunan lang yun, Route 196. If you're coming from school or coming from work, it'll start late, like 9, 10 p.m.
Yeah, for sure, Route 196.
Yeah. So come on over, and we can't wait to see you there. So that's happening.
No classes.
Walang pasok.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pasok, yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
And have a good APEC long weekend. Make the most out of your free time, especially if you're in school. Don't fuck it up, please. Honestly, like, you know, we know how it is to have fucked up your long weekends. And Thank you to the folks over at Mellow 94.7 for always having us, letting us record using the equipment, the facilities and all that. Thank you so much. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you on social media, where can they find Redrick Mahaba?
Okay, just go to facebook.com/anghaba. That's like haba with like 5, 6 A's. If you want to type it out, just type Redrick Mahaba -PWR. I think that's easier. I've made people very, very hard to find me on social media. I don't know why. But yeah. Redrick Mahaba PWR on Facebook.
All right. Maraming salamat, Redrick Mahaba.
Thank you.
I am excited to see you make your debut November 28th. Mark yes. that date on your calendar. iAcademy Auditorium, Mahabang Usapan. It's going to make its debut with its host, the one and only, the King of Schlong Style, the yes. Intimate Warrior.
The Aphrodisiac.
The Aphrodisiac. Yeah.
I have like 9 more nicknames, man.
And yeah. I just
I'm
can't wait.
I'm slowly going to debut it.
Yeah. Which, you know, it deserves no other way. Redrick Mahaba, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, man.
And with that, we are out of here. Namaste. Peace out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.